Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Amen. Just as you're seated, just turn around, look at someone, and then don't say nothing. Just turn in your Bibles if you would. Romans chapter 12. Famous portion of scripture, we know it, we read it, we've heard about it, no doubt, had Bible studies on it. Just want to look into it very briefly, very quickly today, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And we're going to talk about transformation, as I said, and mind over matter. When you think about that phrase, mind over matter, it kind of comes across as a bit new agey, a bit weird, a bit funky. But I want to let you know that it is not a new concept. It is as old as Adam and Eve, it is as old as humanity's been on this earth, mind over matter. And we're going to look at it a little bit today, because I truly believe that not everyone in this place is transformed in the way that they should. Not everyone. And it is God's will, it is God's desire that we should be transformed, so that we're not the same as we were. When you're born again, when you're a Christian, things change. They must change. There must be evidence of that change. Otherwise, you know, maybe nothing's really happened. And we don't want anyone to be deceived. We really believe that God can transform people's lives. How many of you believe that? You've seen it, you've heard about it, and that's a good start. But then we want to experience it in reality for ourselves, right? And it's a process. It happens through a crisis sometimes, but it happens through a process as well. And I want to look at today in the Word of God, what the Bible says. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Christians, the believers in Rome at the time. And he says to them, dear brothers and sisters, he said, I plead with you. You know, so this is obviously important. It's an important subject. He said, I plead with you to give yourselves, your bodies to God. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Be a living sacrifice. Give yourself to God. And maybe, you know, that's a difficult thing, because ourself don't want to give up anything. In fact, ourself, left to itself, wants to take everything. Am I right or wrong? And if you look at, some people look at themselves as being, you know, they think of themselves as a body with a soul and a spirit. And that's what we were before we were born again. That's how we lived. It was all about our senses. It was all about what we felt, what we could taste, what we could touch, what we could hear. Are you with me? What we could see. It was all about that. And it was all about gratification of our senses and ourselves, right? That's why people used to get out of their nuts. That's why people run around for sex. That's why people overeat. That's why people do all these things, because of that sense of your body, your carnal nature, what the Bible calls, always wanting more. It wants more. What, that one piece of chocolate's never enough. Huh? The one pipe was never enough. Are you with me? When people watch pornography, they, oh, I don't want to watch it. And then it's never enough. And addictions grow and strongholds begin to develop in people's minds, because we're being led from the wrong direction. Are you with me? But he says here, he says, what you got to do is you got to give your body. You got to give yourself. You got to deny yourself, Jesus said in another place. You got to put that stuff where it needs to be, and not just to bed, but to death. Some of you know, sometimes we put our old carnal desires to bed. Are you with me? Right, in the morning, things are going to be different. But then you wake up and there's been a resurrection. Hallelujah. Right? But you got to put it to death. And then he goes on and he says, because of all that he has done for you. Because of all that he has done for you. Do it because of what Jesus has done for you. That's a beginning point. When you get to the point where you understand what it is that God has actually done for us. He paid the price for our sin. That's like being committed to death. Being judged and sentenced to death, and someone else comes and takes your place. Unheard of. Never happens. But Jesus did that spiritually and in reality. And even while we were still sinners, it says early on in Romans, while we were still sinners, Christ did it. He didn't wait for us to do good before he blessed us. And here's another thing. A lot of Christians, they start off in faith through the grace of God because of the sacrifice of Jesus while they were still a sinner. That's why they get saved. And then they're saved. And then they mess up once. And then they think, oh no, Jesus don't want me no more. And they leave the church, or they don't pray no more, or they don't come back, or they, because now they're not good enough. You were never good enough. You've never been good enough. You never will be good enough. You can't make it on your own. It is exactly the same as in the beginning. You fall, you rise, you pray, you ask for forgiveness. God takes you forward. But you have to be going forward, and you have to be headed in the right direction, and you have to be transforming. There has to be an onward progress. Are you with me? Because of everything he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. A sacrifice means something's died and there's a release. That's what we need to be. Living sacrifices. You've heard it said before, and it's true. You know, a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, always tries to crawl off of the sacrificial table or crawl away from the altar. Because we are filled with a survival mentality. And our carnal, fallen, fleshly, earthly nature don't want to give up. How many of you have ever tried to stop smoking by willpower? Stop eating by willpower? You put hide the chocolate. Get rid of the chocolate. You don't have it in your house. Come on now. Whatever it is. I'm not going to the mall. I'm not going to buy any shoes. Huh? So you don't go to the mall. You just get on the internet. You just order them now without even trying them on. Huh? Because it's never enough, and you try and crawl off the table, and you try and compromise. Well, I'm gonna. It's like when I got saved, I was a heroin addict, methadone addict. I was getting all sorts of pills and potions and this and that, and smoking crack and drinking and, you know, doing everything. Heroin was my drug of need, and everything else was fair game, right? And so what we were told was, originally, I got saved and some well-meaning people said, well, you know, try and come off of drugs and we'll help you come off of drugs. But don't worry too much about the smoking, right? Because haven't you done so well coming off of heroin? Smoking's nothing. Well, smoking is the point of the dagger of addiction that is going to enter into your life, and you're never going to be free unless you get rid of all of it. God's not into just the partial change. He's into total transformation. He doesn't want you to be an ex-caterpillar. He wants you to be a butterfly. Are you with me? He doesn't want you to be a caterpillar with wings. He doesn't want you to be a butterfly walking on the ground. He doesn't want you to be limited by still stuff from your past. He wants that stuff to go. He wants there to be a total transformation so that you can be everything you were created to be. But we don't want to do it, and so we compromise. Well, you know, I won't watch porn, but I'll do this. I won't overeat, but I'll drink. I won't drink, but I'll do that. I won't take heroin, I'll just drink. I won't do this, I'll take a pill. I won't. Are you with me? And it's across the board in everywhere. Not even if you're you've got an addiction, but if you're a sinner, if you're just someone who's lost and bound by yourself, by your flesh, then there is always going to be the temptation to compromise in your faith. Well, I'll come to church, but I'm not going to go to the Bible study. Well, I'll do this, but I'm not going to do that. Well, I'll come to church, but I'm not going to lift up the hands. Well, I'll do this, but I'm not going to do that. Well, I'll worship, but I'm not going to give. I'll give my time instead. No! Well, I'll go to church. There's TV. I can do it. No! Well, my church is on the internet. Listen, if you want to have a virtual church, you might have a virtual salvation. And then one day, you might have a virtual heaven, where you're watching everyone else on a screen doing all the things that you really should be doing. But you're somewhere else. Hello? We compromise, but we can't compromise. We need to be transformed. That's being conformed. He said, don't copy the behaviors or the customs of this world. In another translation, it says, do not be conformed to this world. The customs and the behaviors of this world, the culture of this world. Culture comes from what we listen to, what we're told, what we think. Quite often we find out that the culture that we're in is not even ours. It doesn't come from us. The things that we speak, the thoughts that we have, don't even come from us. They come from our parents, from our peers. They come from advertisers. Hello? Huh? Because I'm worth it. Some people think they're worth it, and some people buy their stuff from, you know, the designer shop because I'm worth it, and some people buy their stuff from the pound shop because I'm worthless. But either way, your thinking is determined quite often by the cultural atmosphere that you're in. Are you with me? And you become like everyone else around you, and then basically you're irrelevant as an individual. You just become part of the hive mind. You become part of that, you know, that crazy kind of existence that you don't even realize what it is that you're doing. Does that make sense? And then he says this. He says, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, by renewing your mind, in another portion of scripture. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. See, unless you change the way you think, you're not going to change the way you act. And then you're not going to do the things that God wants you to do. And doing what God wants you to do is important. There's no getting away from doing what God wants you to do. Grace does not cover you from disobeying what God wants you to do. That's not grace. People that get away with it are under mercy. There's mercy. It ain't grace. You're just getting away with it for a while, but you ain't going to get away with it forever, because your actions have consequences, and one day the consequences are going to catch up with you, and then you're going to be in trouble. Huh? So, renew your mind. Change your thinking. Grab a hold of those thoughts. Then you'll learn what life's all about. Sounds like some sort of new wave, new age, funky self-help stuff, but it's not. It's actually a concept that comes from the beginning of humanity. It comes from the very origins of humanity, the Genesis. It's not anti-Christian. It's not just purely scientific. And science and Christianity are not opposed. They're together in stuff. There's just certain stuff that science can do that religion's not meant to do, and vice versa. There's questions that both can answer that the other ones can't. They're not opposed. They're two rails running together on the same track. This is not complicated either. It's not just for certain people. You don't have to have a PhD to be able to transform the way that you live. You don't need to go to school to transform the way you live. You don't need to, you know, do this or that. It's not complicated. It's not just for a specific amount of people or a certain group. It's actually a state of mind that the apostles, that the original believers, that Jesus taught us to create within ourselves, to get a grip of, so that we can overcome the world within us and outside of us. Are you with me? And it's necessary because of the influences of this world. You know, some of them are loud, some of them shout, do this, you must do that, you must live like this, you must believe that, you must accept what I want you to accept. Huh? You must accept me and what I believe. But I'm not going to accept what you believe. Hello? I can be pastor or pastoress Paul today. I can be pastor or sister called into the world, wherever I decide to be. And if you don't agree with it, then you're a bigot. No. What is that? That is the world. That is the system of the world. Shouting loud. Sometimes it comes subtly. And it tries to influence you subtly. Are you with me? And it seeks to captivate us, captivate our thinking in order to program us, watch this, to worship anything else except the Creator God of the universe. It don't matter what you worship, as long as you don't worship Him. That's the system of the world. Huh? So what are we to do? First, we have to grab a hold of our thinking. You got to get a hold of your thoughts. Because sometimes they come to you and you don't do anything with them. And the thing is, if they start nesting in your mind, they'll start building up strongholds. They'll start building up these places within your mind that the enemy of our souls and the system of the world can come and live in, and then it can start to take over everything that you do. Then it will tell you what to wear, tell you what to think, tell you how to act. And before you know it, you're like a robot. You're just doing the thing. You're part of the matrix, man. You think that you're doing the thing, but really and truly, you're just laying there, comatose in some mad little pod while everyone else just sucks life out of you. You ever watch that movie, The Matrix? They're all there doing their 2.4 kids with their beautiful house and their dog Spot and the white picket fence, going to work and coming back, and they're all happy. But in reality, they're actually laying there with tubes coming out of their head, with their life essences being sucked out and used as power for something else. And that's what happens when people submit to the kingdom of this world. And they just submit to it, and then all of their power. You work 9 to 5, that's great, fantastic, you have to do it. But you're earning £10 an hour, while someone else is earning £1 million for that contract that you're making happen at £10 an hour. Are you with me? And you're the one getting stressed, you're the one that's tired, you're the one that can't, you know, speak to your family and don't see your kids, and you're off at work before they go to school, and you're back home when they go to bed and all that stuff, and you're earning your little bit of money to get by, and you're part of the matrix. Because you've been programmed into it. That this is how it's meant to be. And this is how I'm meant to be. And this is about the level that I'm meant to have. And this is the size of house that I'm allowed to have. And this is the clothes that I'm allowed to wear. This is the car I'm allowed to drive. Or maybe I'm not allowed to drive a car. Maybe I should be on a bus. And this is how I should look. But we need to grab a hold of those thoughts. Because where have they come from? Is that you? Huh? Is that your desire? Or is that just how you've been programmed? Does that make sense? Huh? So we need to grab a hold of our thoughts. We need to grab a hold of our thinking. We need to take a hold of it. Huh? So that we're not conformed to the pattern of the world. That word conformed is a Greek word, systematizo. Systematizo. It's like where we get the word systematize and scheme. Huh? There is systems in place that are a scheme of the enemy of God to keep us in a mode. Do you know that? That many people in the world are like robots. They're just programmed to walk. And there is a scheme that keeps us. And as long as we do not worship God, you can worship anything you like. You can be a Buddhist. You can be a Muslim. You can be a Hindu. You can be a Satanist. You can be a Wiccan. You can worship yourself. You can worship this. You can do that. You can say I'm an atheist. You can be a scientist. Whatever. As long as you do not bow your knee to Jesus Christ and through him be connected to the Father of all creation, it's okay. Do whatever you like. Heavy, isn't it? That's the scheme. That's the scheme to keep you away from reconnecting to the life source. Huh? So that you're not fashioned alike. This word means to fashion alike, to fashion according to the pattern. See, there's a pattern, right? And it is to keep you curled up like a little fetus in a little pod with tubes in your head, taking out all of your goodness, all of your ideas, all of your energy, all of your life source, so that it feeds an elite group led by Lucifer. Is this on? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Help me out. All right. Just making sure you ain't all part of the matrix. I'm looking for the tubes coming out of your heads right now. Huh? This age is one of rebellion. From all the way back in the day when Adam's traitorous actions, he was a traitor. He was given the earth to God. He was given guardianship of creation and of God's glory, and he sold it out. He went after something else. He chose to disconnect from the Creator God in order to gain knowledge from a different source that would enable him to become like God. But he was created to be like God anyway. Just trust him. How many of you know sometimes that ain't enough? Huh? Sometimes you don't want to be one of the pastoral staff, you want to be the pastor. Sometimes they're running jumping jacks and doing an amazing job, but it ain't good enough for some of the people that come. They think they can do the job better. And so they start undermining and whispering and talking about them and doing this and doing that. I'm sure that's never happened to you, right? Huh? Not today, at least. But it happens, doesn't it? Because our nature, that earthly fallen nature that is programmed to be in the world, that flesh, that carnality, that stuff that says, I haven't got enough, I want more. Adam, what happened, man? You had it all, and you gave it up. And in doing so, what happened was, it caused a fundamental change in humanity. He then pulled out a connection from the source of goodness and light, and he plugged it in to a new connection, which was darkness and death and destruction. And it awed him. And then through him, every generation that came after him was impregnated with the same seed, the same DNA. It altered, it warped. Something was missing, something was lost, something was lacking. Until today, that's how people are born, in the image of Adam. Fallen, disconnected from God and connected to Lucifer and his fallen, warped thinking. But that's why we need to grab a hold of our thinking. Because when you come to Jesus, you get unplugged from the darkness, and through Jesus, you get plugged into the light. And then all of a sudden, something warps inside of you again. And what was missing gets put back. And what was lacking gets filled up. And you change inside. And that's called being transformed. So today, our minds are the battleground for warring ideas and ideologies. Selfishness, seeking enlightenment apart from the Creator God are real problems in this world. And they're ultimately Luciferian. You know, Lucifer, his name comes from a translation from Isaiah 14:12, and it literally means bright star, shining star, or morning star. And he was a cherub, it says in Ezekiel, and he actually covered the glory of God. His job was to cover the glory of God. Amen. Then you had the seraphim that were around the throne, who had six wings that would fly, and with two they'd cover their face, and two they'd cover their feet, and the other two they'd fly with, and they would proclaim, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is filled with his glory. Are you with me? They were to proclaim the glory of God. But together, there was a falling away, and Lucifer came and wanted to seek, instead of covering the glory of God, he wanted to have the glory of God. And then he came to earth and he tempted Adam and Eve, and he wanted their worship. For some people, this is difficult to hear, that everything's run by this fallen celestial being. Most scholars see this description of Satan before his rebellion against God, that he was the most beautiful of angels, but that his pride and desire for God's own throne resulted in his being cast out of heaven and being given the name Satan, which means adversary. But his real name was Lucifer. And the thing is this, whether people actually unknowingly worship Lucifer or not is irrelevant. Some people do. They're Luciferian. They have these weird Luciferian things. They're witches. They're top-line masons. They're, you know, the elite people, and they actually worship him, thinking he's the good guy, that he is the source of light, because that's how he's deceived everyone. Are you with me? He corrupts things. According to Scripture, he's been known as the God of, or the prince of this world, and he takes his power from people who even ignorantly follow his lead. So whether or not you bow down to him, as long as you're not bowing down to God, he's gaining power from the matrix, from the tubes in your head. So there we are. How many of you have known them tubes in your head? Let me see your hands. How many of you have felt like you've had tubes in your head sucking the life out of you and you didn't know why? Huh? Or the rest of you that didn't put your hand up, you've always lived the way you wanted to live, right? You've always exceeded your expectations. You look the way that you want to look. Hello. Huh? You wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror and go, Looking good, superstar. Huh? You go outside your 10,000 square foot house and you get into your top line German model or Italian model vehicle, and you get in there and look in the mirror again at your windswept hair. That's yours. Huh? You smile at each other and have to cover the gleam that comes back at you from your pearly white teeth. You sit in that crafted chair and none of you wobbles. Nothing wobbles. And then you go and visit one of your businesses around the world on your private jet. Or do you get up, make your sandwiches, 5 o'clock in the morning, look in the mirror, go, oh. Who is that fat, bald imposter looking at me right now? Someone's jumped into my body in the sleep. I don't know what happened. Who's that? Jumped into my body. Someone's jumped into my body. Ah! And then you make your sandwiches with your white bread and your processed meat. And then you put it in a Lidl's bag and you get on your bike or you go to the bus stop and you go to work for someone else to make them a profit so that they can come out of their 10,000 square foot house and get into their top line motor. Oh, I ain't talking to no one in here. See, whether we know it or not, if we're not worshiping God, if our thinking is not aligned with His, then our power is being utilized by someone else. Huh? Lust, violence, the occult, lying, etc. They're all His. They're all from Him, and they twist people's thinking until the stinking thinking becomes normal thinking. Huh? But we're called to be transformed. Transformed. Not a junkie without a habit. Huh? Not a hurt person just limping through life. Not someone that's been abused and feels guilt for someone else's sin. But you're meant to walk through life like a champion. You're meant to walk through life clean-minded, determined. How do we do that? How do we get there? The word transformed is a word metamorpho. Metamorpho. Uo. Oh, oh. Metamorpho. Oh. Something like that. Amen. I'm not Greek. I can say kebab in Greek. But this word is where we get the English word metamorphosis, which means literally to change shape or form. Huh? When Jesus was on the mountain and he met with Moses and Elisha in Mark, it's called the Transfiguration. It says this in Mark 9. It says, 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, led them up to a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed and his clothes became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly bleach could ever make them. Then Elijah and Moses appeared, began talking with Jesus. Jesus basically at that moment changed into his real form. He's just a glimpse of it. This is who he is. He took on humanity. But his reality is glorious. And I don't know about you, but if you could see in the spirit right now and you looked around and you saw born-again people in their eternal state, you would want to bow down and worship them because they're so glorious. That's what you look like in reality if you're born again, blood-washed, filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just the outside you look tore up, messed up, beat up from the feet up, tore up from the floor up, messed up from the chest up, wrecked up from the neck up, busted, disgusted, and couldn't be trusted. Huh? And people that are not born again, you would want to run away from. So horrible are they. Ugly. Huh? That's how we were in our old state. Jesus changed his new form and he gives us an indication of what he wants for us. That's what we need to do. And it happens when your mind refuses to be shaped by a rebellious, selfish outlook. And instead is renewed. But you have to continually do it. Because how many of you have ever worked out for a little bit? No one's putting their hands up in here, look. Unbelievable, lazy bunch. What's the matter with you guys? Huh? Come on, some of you were as fit as a butcher's dog years ago. I was as fit as a butcher's dog years ago, man. Now I look like something hanging in a butcher's window, but it's all right. It's just an imposter jumped into my body. But I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. Inside this bubble wrap is a six-pack. It's just bubble wrap. I'll unzip it. It's just my earth suit. But I remember I was as fit as a butcher's dog. I had a six-pack. I had muscles on my eyelids. I was so fit. But when you look at me now, some of them muscles are no longer visible. Because they don't just stay there like themselves. We live in a world that is fallen and falling, and it goes downhill all the time. And you have to maintain the thing. Renew your mind is not just something you do once. It's something you do every day. It's something you do constantly as you progress. Does that make sense? It becomes fresh and clean. So that you can become everything you were created to become. You have to remember that the battle is in the mind, but it's for the heart, because thoughts begin processes whose actions have consequences. And your mind thinks, and your heart becomes. Are you with me? So our minds need to change. This is repentance. Repentance should be part of your lifestyle of faith. When you mess up, repent. When you go off direction, repent. It just means to turn. It means to change your thinking. It means to redirect, reboot. Hello? How many of you had to do that with a computer? Huh? Something's gone wrong with a computer. You don't know what to do. You spend 15 hours on the phone waiting for someone in India to tell you what to do. And you're there on the line being pushed back, listening to Bangra music and whatever's going on. God bless them. But there you are. And the next thing, someone comes on the phone and they say, oh, yes, just turn it on and off. What? That's repentance, man. But you have to do it daily. It's not just something that a messed up junkie or a messed up sinner does once when they come to an altar and they turn to Jesus. It's something that a Christian does daily. It's something that you need to do hourly sometimes. It's something that you need to do constantly to keep getting yourself realigned with the love and the power of the living God. And then we'll follow in his direction. How do we do that? Ephesians chapter 4. I'm coming into a landing. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read these verses. Let the word of God do the work. Amen. You receive some of this stuff because it's the word of God that washes us. It's the word of God that renews us with the Spirit of God that gets a hold of us, that gives us the inclination, that offers us the choice of what one to take. Do you want to live still in that matrix zone when you're in that pod with tubes out your head? Or do you want to change and live in reality? The thing about reality is that sometimes it's not as comfortable as being conformed to the world, because you become countercultural. You're going in a different direction. You're swimming against the stream. And that's why a lot of people give up. They turn tail, they turn back round, they go back in. But you have to keep going forward, because the source is at the other end of the river. The place you want to be is at the other end of the river. It don't matter what way the river's running. It's the destination that's key. Are you with me? But let me just say this. Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, he says, with the Lord's authority, I say this. Live no longer as the Gentiles do, or the nations, the other nations, the people that were not God's people. For they're hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives, because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every type and kind of impurity. Sounds like a Friday night in Glasgow. Huh? Or Manchester. Hello. Some people don't care what they wear. Listen, don't wear that, love. I've wanted to stop my car sometimes driving through town at night and just turn, pull the window down and say, love, don't do that again. You should not wear that little dress, them little shorts. You're fat. It's not good for you. Obviously, I don't do that because it would be insensitive. But how many of you know inside, you're like, don't, man. What is that? Nastiness. Huh? Or men with skin tight jeans and skin tight tops walking around. Stop it. I feel like saying, stop it. Go and stand in the corner. What's the matter with you? Huh? But people do it. They practice it. They get drunk. They fall over. They vomit all over themselves. They read this. They do that. They say, oh, we've done this. We've done that. I've done this. I've done that. We've all done it. Ridiculous. Huh? But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Huh? That's an action. It's not an accident. Some people want to be holy by accident. They think they're saved and they're going to go to heaven because they said a prayer once, but they're still living the same as they did, and they expect God to go, oh, well done, good and faithful servant. Huh? He says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature. Put it on. Huh? Put off one, put on the other. Created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. That's a heavy one. Everyone lies. And when you do, you're speaking the same language as Lucifer, who was a liar from the beginning. Huh? Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we're all parts of the same body. Huh? And don't sin by letting anger control you. Hello. Talking to married couples right now. Well, huh? We become Christians and all of a sudden we get married and it's all great, but then it don't get great. You know, you go through the engagement ring, you go to the wedding ring, then you enter the suffering, and then all of a sudden everything's like, ooh, what are we going to do? And divorce is not an option, but murder. Murder is something you contemplate every day. Every time you listen to him snoring at night. Huh? Every new pair of shoes she brings back, or bag, or nails, or hair. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. That's what me and my wife have made a thing. Sometimes we get angry with each other, not often anymore, because I've changed. Huh? It's the problem is always me. Hello, men. Huh? Know the truth. Let the truth set you free, man. But we won't go to sleep if we've argued. We'll even stay up and we'll talk about it and we'll pray and we'll ask each other for forgiveness, whether we mean it or not. Sometimes. Some of you know, sometimes you might not mean it, but you have to do it, and then you start working yourself into it later on and you sleep all right, and it's okay. You wake up in the morning and it's real. Huh? Can someone give me a big amen? Amen? You know what I'm saying is true. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. That'll get in your mind and it'll take a hold of your heart, and then your actions will follow, and then consequences will come that you don't really want to be dealing with. Huh? If you're a thief, quit stealing. Huh? Come on now. Amen. Don't steal, man. My nephew is a thief. It was his birthday the other day, so I thought I'd treat him. I stuck a tenner in his nan's purse. We can steal people's thunder. We can steal people's credit. We can steal God's glory. We can steal when it has an effect and it has a consequence, and we need to stop it. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Man of Christians, I hear cussing and blinding. Shut up, potty mouth. Stop it. You know what I mean? The same mouth you're praising God, the same mouth you're using to curse everything else. Stop your business. Wipe your mouth. Huh? Or go and stand in the corner. And then let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement. An encouragement to those who hear you. Huh? You're looking good today. You might not be. You might be ugly. But listen, there's always something good about someone, right? Are you with me? I think babies are ugly. Ugly, wrinkled little things. People bring their babies to me. Oh, isn't she gorgeous? Isn't he gorgeous? And I always try and find something gorgeous about a baby. Oh, look at her eyes. Huh? What an amazing smile. You know, you understand what I'm saying right now. Let's be truthful, be honest. Curtis is looking at me like, oh yeah. Looking at me right now, he's tapping his watch. Time's up. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own. You belong to him. Think like it. Believe it. Act like it. Make changes where necessary. Stop being like everyone else. You're not meant to be like them, because then you're irrelevant to them. You're meant to be different. You're meant to be light in darkness, life in death. You're meant to be changed, free, whole. Guaranteeing you'll be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. I want you to stand to your feet. Worship team going to come back. I want to make one quick dip. One quick dip. One quick dip. So worship team, just sing. And we focus on the Lord. I want to just fling this out real quick. That if you know that there's an area of your life that is conformed to the world, you're a Christian, right? I'm speaking of Christians right now. First service, Christians. You know there's areas of your life that could do with an upgrade. One of my frustrations as a leader is that I see people that I want to be able to use that have so many gifts and talents that can do such an amazing thing for the kingdom of God and for other people, and that because they're conformed to the world, they become inactive. They become unavailable. And I'm not just talking about they're in sin or they don't turn up. I'm talking about that they have health issues because they overeat. I'm talking about that they have health issues because they don't exercise, they don't take care of themselves, they're unhealthy, or they're focused more on their job. Or it's great to have a job, we all need to work, we all need to earn money. But do you really need to work on a Sunday? If you're a doctor, maybe. But then what about coming on a Friday? What about coming on a Wednesday? But some people, they just make the excuse. And it's frustrating. And it's a bit bad, but don't you? And then you hear it, but Pastor, I have to pay my bills. We all have to pay our bills. Best way I know to pay your bills is getting God's will, because if it's God's will, it's God's bill. When you're in God's will, he pays your bills, man. Not by, you know, cut your credit card up if you're overspending. He's not gonna do something against your nonsense, but and it gets frustrating that people are conformed, or they feel less than they should, or they've believed a lie, or they're leaking somewhere and they're not allowed God to heal them. Because if we would be transformed, we would be dangerous. There would be a revival that comes because of the revival that is in us, the water that bubbles up inside of us, where we don't have to thirst anymore, and it's just like springs of living water that just flow up, that we're walking in the way that we should walk and talking in the way that we should talk and acting in the way that we should act, and darkness is fleeing and demons are being cast out and strongholds are being pulled down and lives are being changed and families are being reconciled and governments are being changed. And here's the thing, we concentrate a lot on transforming the hurting people, but what about transforming the people in government that also make decisions that affect the people that are hurting? What about transforming them as well? What about praying for them? What about holding them to account? What about us changing and it being catching all across the board? Lift up your hands and just concentrate on the Lord. And if he's spoken to you today and you know there's an area that you want to transform, just come out to the altar real quick as the worship team sing. And just pray and lay it down on the altar and just say, God, I want to change in this area. I want to change in this area. Just come out. Don't feel afraid. Nothing funky is going to happen. Just come out right now. Just for a minute and then we're closing.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.